So sorry, ladies, this morning I want to talk to the guys. But it's on your behalf. Guys, first I want to start my sermon by giving you a list of what not to buy for your wife for Christmas. Okay? Don't buy her anything that plugs in. Anything that requires electricity, seen as utilitarian, that she must use it for your pleasure. Okay, so don't do that. Number two, don't buy clothes that involve sizes. One size too big, you will hear it. Does he think I'm fat? One size too small, she says, he doesn't notice me. I haven't worn a size 4 in a long time. So whichever way, you'll be in trouble. Don't buy anything that involves weight loss or self-improvement. She'll perceive a 6-month gym membership as a suggestion that she's overweight. So you will be in trouble. Number 4. I know they say jewelry is a woman's best friend. Take it from me. Don't buy jewelry. The jewelry your wife wants, you can't afford. And the jewelry you can't afford, she doesn't want. Okay? So and guys, this one is a big no-no. Listen, do not buy her fancy lingerie. Your ideas of the kind your wife should wear and what she actually wears are light years apart. So don't do it. Now, the next two. Don't spend too much. She won't tell you this, but this will be on her mind for months to come. How are we going to afford this? And don't spend too little. She won't say anything, but she'll think, is it all I'm worth? And men, the reason I only list don't do's and I don't list the do's is because if she finds out I give do's and you buy the ones that she doesn't like, both you and I are going to get cold shoulder all year long. So I want to get out of that. So I just give you the don't do's. But all joke aside, I know most men here wish to buy his wife the perfect gift. I don't know what the perfect gift would be for your wife. But Howden Robinson once said, if you want to know how to do something, you don't follow everybody. You follow the expert in that field. Don't follow 5, 10 people to find out how to give your wife the perfect gift. But if you could find the perfect giver and follow the gift that perfect giver gives, then you can learn to give your wife a perfect gift. And in James, Apostle James, Jesus' little brother, James 1 verse 17, James gave us a workable lead. He says, every good and perfect gift is where? Comes from above. What James is saying is that God is the perfect gift giver. God gives perfect gifts. And because God knows how to give perfect gifts, if you pay attention to the gift that God has given, perhaps you'll have a chance of hitting the bullseye this year. And the reason why I'm saying this to you is because I know you have not bought your gift. So let me share with you this morning what I discovered about the perfect gift that God gives. God's perfect gifts possess 4 characteristics. And if you want to buy your wife the perfect gift for this Christmas, the gift must have this 4 characteristic. Characteristic of a perfect gift. Number 1 characteristic of a perfect gift is that the gift must be unique. The gift must be unique. This is how unique God's perfect gift was. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 23 to 27, the Bible says, then he got into the boat and his disciples followed him. And suddenly a furious storm came up into the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him up saying, Lord, save us. We're going down. He replied, you of little faith. Why are you so afraid? Then he got up, rebuked the wind and the waves, and it was completely calm. And the men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Whenever you're asking what kind, you're talking about something unique. Jesus was unique. God's perfect gift was unique. And if you want your wife to appreciate your gift this Christmas, pick something unique. You still have time. You still have time. Put some thought into it. Because the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave what? His one and only. He gives you something unique. So if you want to give your wife or anyone else that you love a perfect gift this Christmas, the gift has to be unique. That's the first characteristic of the perfect gift. The second characteristic of a perfect gift is that the gift must meet the need of the recipient, not you. The gift must meet the need of the recipient. It is the perfect solution. When God, after men in Genesis, after men sinned, we were in need. We were in need. But God said to Adam and Eve, do not touch. Because the day you eat from this tree, what would happen? You shall surely, surely die. And because the Bible says the wages of sin is what? Is death. So they sinned, and this is what was happening to men. Genesis chapter 5. If you read Genesis chapter 5, and you listen to it throughout the chapter, I'm not going to read all of it, I'll read a few. And it says, this is the written account of Adam's family line after Adam's sin. When God created mankind, he made them in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them, and he named them mankind when they were created. Go ahead. When Adam lived 130 years, he had a son in his own likeness and his own image, and he named him Seth. After Seth was born, Adam lived 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Adam lived a total of 930 years. And then what happened? He died. And then we go on to the next one. When Seth lived 105 years, he became the father of Enosh. After he became the father of Enosh, Seth lived 807 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Seth lived a total of 912 years. And then what happened? He died. Let me show you one more. There's many. He says, when Enosh lived 90 years, he became the father of Kenan. After he became the father of Kenan, Enosh lived 815 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enosh lived a total of 905 years. And then what happened? He died. He died. Ever since Adam and Eve sinned, all humanity have one thing, one common denominator. We all have an appointment with death. All have an appointment with death. Again, for the Bible says in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death. So when God looked at humanity, he knew our great need. He needed to give us a gift. He knew our great need. And as someone once well said, he says, if humanity's greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If humanity's greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If humanity's greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But humanity's greatest need was salvation. We were lost. So God sent us a Savior. God sent us a Savior. In Luke chapter 2, verse 8 to 11, the Bible says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, behold, I bring you good tidings of joy, which shall be for to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." A Savior. So men, if you want your wife to appreciate your gift this Christmas, first, pick one that is unique, but something that meets her needs. You still have time. Put some thought into it. The third characteristic of a perfect gift is that this gift must be paid in full. The gift must be paid in full. On the cross, Jesus, John chapter 19, verse 28, 30, the Bible says, "After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, he said, I thirst. Now a vessel full of wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a hyssop, and put it on his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished." In English, that doesn't mean much. It just says that there's an end to it. But that's not what this means. That word tetelestai in Greek means all is accomplished, paid in full. And that's the reason why we sing, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. The gift of God is unique. It's not just unique, but it met our needs. Didn't just meet our need, but it was paid in full. He paid it all. And that's why Romans chapter 4 says, it is not for those who work for it, because it's already paid in full. It is for those who simply put their trust on the one who justifies the ungodly. And God accredited to them as righteousness. That's the reason why you cannot work for salvation. That's the reason why there's nothing you can do to make God love you any more or any less. All you have to do is to trust in the gift that he has given you, which is his son, Jesus Christ. So men, if you want to buy your wife a perfect Christmas gift, look at God's gift. Pick one that is unique. One that meets her needs. And pay it in full. Pay it in full. And as I told you earlier, if it is not paid in full, she won't tell you this. But this will be on her mind all month long. For months, how are we going to afford this? You still have time. You still have time. He did it because, and not only that, the gift has to be unique, it has to meet the need. Not only has to meet the need, it has to be paid in full. But there is a fourth characteristic and last characteristic of that gift. The gift must display clearly the motive of the giver. The gift must display clearly the motive of the giver. There's a gift that, like I tell you, there's a gift you might give your wife. She already knows why you're giving it to her. It's for your pleasure, not hers. But you gotta give her something. The motive have to be clear. And God's motive for giving us the perfect gift is not because you and I deserved it. It's not because you and I were perfect. God's motive is because he loved us. That's all. John 3:16 again says, "For God so loved the world that he gave." He didn't give because you deserve it. He didn't give it because you worked for it. He gave it because he loves you. So if you're going to pick a gift for your wife, make sure she doesn't think you give her the gift because, oh, she deserved it, or because of what she's done, but simply because I want to show you that I love you. That's my motive. And that's all it is. So men, if you want your wife to appreciate your gift this Christmas, pick something unique. Something that meets her need. Pay it in full. And do it, not because she deserves it. Do it, not because she did something for you. But do it because you want to show her your love for her. Give her the perfect gift to express the love of God who loves you and me. And he bestowed that gift upon us. And that's the agape love of God. The agape love of God, which the great philosophers can't understand. Karl Marx asked, when Jesus says, love your enemy, how can you love your enemy? Because Jesus is talking about a love that the world doesn't know about. It's the agape love. The sacrificial love. The one that you give and display, not because of what the person's done, but because of what you want to do. And God wanted to save the world. Yes, this big bad world. Because of his loves. He gave. He gave the agape love, the sacrificial love. You know, sometimes in this world, when I say I love my wife, I love my dog, or I love Kenley, I love my car, most of the time we're talking about what the car does for us, what the wife does for us, what the dog make, how the dog make us feel. That's not the love that God's talking about. He's talking about the agape love. The love that draws us to God because God drew us to him first. Not because of anything that we have done. Share that love with your wife this December. Because God did it for you. And he did it for me. Romans chapter 5 verse 8 says, but God demonstrate his own love for us in this. While we were yet what? Sinners. While we were yet sinners. God then said, well, I will give you this unique gift. This gift that meets your need. This gift that is paid in full. This gift that is a sacrificial gift because you deserve it. Because you've been doing the great things. Because you listened to me who's the God of the universe. No, he says, while we were yet sinners. In fact, Romans chapter 4 says it even better. It says we were enemies of God. Enemies of God. We were ungodly. And if God was going to wait on us to act first, the relationship would be done. And I want to tell you, if you want to wait for your wife to act first, or your husband to act first, that's how relationships end. That's how marriages are broken. Because we all are keeping, you know, sticking to our guns until everything dies. So this December, do like God. Because they said the apple does not fall too far from the tree. Give first. While she may not understand you, give first. While he may not understand you, give first. She may not think of buying a gift, give first. Because God gave first. And you might think that your marriage is on the brink of no return. I want you to know if she is still in the house, you still have time. But put some thought into it. Because in 1 John, the Bible says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. See what great love the Father has lavished upon us, that we might be called children of God. You don't get this, do you? To be called children of God. When somebody called you children of God, they said you're carrying God's DNA. You're carrying God's DNA. So lavish such love on the people that are close to you. Your wife, your children, your mother, your family. Lavish this love on your husband this Christmas. Lavish this love. That gift is not your gift to your husband when you give it. It's not your gift to your wife when you give it. In fact, it's a gift that you're giving back to God. Because He asked you to be like Him. Love first. Give first. So husband and wives, if you want to give your wife, your children, your family, your friends, your church, the perfect gift, put a little thought into it. Give them something unique. Give them something that meets their needs. Pay it in full. And give it with a sacrificial love. That's how God gives. And that's how you and me should give. God bless you.